Well, it's a great day today. It's Vestry Sunday, and I'm really looking forward to our conversations immediately after this service. We're going to go downstairs in the parish hall, which has been set up for that purpose. And it's great to see so many of us out today. We have a number of people who are not able to be here, but we'll talk about that later. But today I'm inviting you to share with me some thoughts from the Gospel, specifically Mark chapter 8 and verse 34. Thanks for reading it, Doug. And it goes something like this. He called the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me." Come, follow me. Well, today is the second Sunday in Lent. And the Gospel reading from Mark 8, verses 31 to 38, provides a summary of what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. And what could be expected of us as we endeavor to follow Christ. And I've been thinking about the significance of Jesus' message to his disciples and how relevant it is for Christians today and certainly for us here at St. George on Young. And today, as we meet and reflect on what God has accomplished through the faithful ministry here at St. George on Young, we will also look at the future as we present our priorities for Christian service, which we will place before God in prayer. And in all of this, I've been thinking about the faithfulness of God's people in this parish, the many who give their time, who give their talent, and who give back to the church part of the financial blessings with which we've been favored. And I've also been thinking about our desire to serve Christ and our deep yearning to be a beacon of hope to all who are in this community. Yes, we should be a beacon of hope. And it's no secret to us that we are very well placed, aren't we? We're right on Young Street. And if we look south, we see the whole of Young Street open to us. Because guess what? The next Anglican church on Young Street is at Young and St. Clair. So all of that is open to us. Now, of course, St. John's York Mills comes in, but they're up on a hill. They're a little off the beaten track. And I tease my buddy Tim Taylor about that because he's at St. John's York Mills. I said, "Tim, no one looks up to the hill any longer. We just keep straight down Young Street." And if we look north, I don't know where's the next church on Young Street up north. Of course, Holy Trinity, Thornhill, they're a little off the beaten track too, but we joke about that as well. They're close enough. But we have Young Street for ourselves. And if we look west along Shepherd, there's absolutely no Anglican presence until we get to Jane Street. And I'm not saying that's good or bad. I'm just saying that the mission field is open to us. We have Young Street, we have Shepherd, we have Finch, and we have all the communities around us. The mission field is literally on our doorstep, and we do not have to go overseas to do missionary work any longer because the mission field has come to us. So my sisters and brothers in Christ, the past year has been quite a year. We continued under diocesan administration, and at the end of May, we bid adieu to Canon Mark Kingham, who is now priest in charge at St. Paul's, Uxbridge. And the parish appreciates Mark's faithful service for a number of years, And we wish Mark, Beth, and his family a fruitful ministry as he continues to serve elsewhere in the Diocese of Toronto. But as we went through the year, the challenge of finances remained a persistent issue and also a high priority. And the parish leadership explored ways to bring about financial stability. By now, if you have read the vestry report, you might be aware that the parish finances are healthier, thanks to all who worked diligently to achieve this goal. But we are just getting started. And I wanted to publicly thank the outgoing treasurer, Ann Winter, the past wardens, and the diocesan administration team, and others for all of the work done to stabilize our finances. Also in 2017, we placed before God three priorities, three emphases. Firstly, we talked about the ministry of the whole people of God, and that is to encourage everyone's contribution to the work of the church, because we all have gifts to offer. But let me put it another way. God has given us some of his gifts for our use for his service. We all have God-given gifts, and so we all have a role to play, a part to play in the ministry of the church. So that's the first area of emphasis. Everyone using gifts. And incidentally, I challenge anyone who is doing more than three volunteer jobs in the church to think about whether or not you are really serving the church. Because once you get beyond a certain point, we have to question ourselves, are we really doing a good job? But on the other hand, I challenge anyone who has not yet volunteered to do a job or who has not agreed to do something to pray about how the gifts with which you've been blessed can be used for the work of the church. First priority, everyone contributing to the work of the church. Secondly, we place before God the idea of nurturing intentional discipleship, which includes a rhythm of Christian life and service, and at the same time providing a welcoming environment. So we ourselves must work on ourselves to be more faithful disciples. And when people enter the doors of the church, come through the doors of the church, we must be in a position to help nurture and help encourage people in their faith. Thirdly, we place before God the idea of growth. Three areas of growth: growth in our spiritual life, growth in our membership, and thirdly, enhancing our image and our presence here at Yonge and Churchill. But we must bear in mind that growth in our spiritual life is critical. If we do not grow spiritually, then we're not able to help people along. And if we do not grow spiritually, we must question whether or not we are growing closer to God. And if we do not grow spiritually, what makes us different from a country club? Now, one might argue that we could become a spiritual country club, but we need to question our faith. We need to look at the fundamentals of our faith. Because I believe that these three areas of emphasis, everyone contributing to the life of the church, everyone working towards discipleship, not perfection, but discipleship, and everyone growing spiritually, having that goal, these are foundational. And we continue to work on them because we're just getting started, placing the emphasis in these three areas. We have made some progress, but there's much more to do in 2018 and beyond. But in order to get as many voices as possible into the conversation, over the summer, parishioners met to discuss not only these areas of emphasis, but we shared ideas for improving worship and parish life here at St. George on Yonge. Thanks to all who hosted these conversations, those who attended and shared ideas. And your suggestions have been acted upon where feasible. In order to encourage each and everyone to improve our spiritual life, in the fall we had a six-week program of Christian education to encourage healthy spiritual habits. And for those who attended God at the Center, Habits for Spiritual Growth, it was a time of learning and sharing. And I would say that the response that we received was quite favorable. Because as Christians, we acknowledge that while physical training is of some value, and this is from Paul's letter to Timothy, a paraphrase, godliness is valuable in every way, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. And that's from 1 Timothy 4 and 8, a paraphrase of Paul's letter to Timothy. But 2017 is behind us, and we are thankful to God for what's been accomplished here, but we look ahead. And we must face 2018 with boldness, taking some risks, but trusting God to lead us through. So as we anticipate the end of diocesan administration, St. George and Yonge will be returning to parish governance and stewardship, with church wardens, a parish advisory board, church officers, and volunteers. By God's grace, our finances are healthier with a proposed balanced budget in 2018. So when we're at Vestry today, we're going to be asking you to pray about this and to we'll be putting before you a proposed balanced budget for 2018, the first balanced budget in a number of years. And in our transition planning from diocesan administration, we might consider an operational review to identify best practices and the possible reallocation of resources to achieve further efficiencies. Because efficiencies, it's an ongoing thing, looking at how we can do better and how we can be more effective. And it is clear that there's a need to explore how we could be more deliberate in our succession planning. And so I challenge each and every one of us, as we engage in the life of the church, look around and say, if something were to happen to me today, God forbid, or if I'm no longer able to carry out this role, who are some of the people who could be potential successors? And guess what? Get them as part of your committee, and let's keep training and developing people, because you might have realized this, and I know that I'm not saying anything new. Do you realize that not even Jesus did it on his own? He recruited 12, right? At least. And then 70, and then the millions and billions around the world. I say that respectfully because sometimes we take on a task and we do not develop others. So think about what succession planning means in your area of responsibility. I must move on now from that point and say that we're looking at the possibility of raising up deacons in the parish. And with the support of our area bishop and the coordinator of deacons, and many of you were here on February the 4th when Archdeacon Barker talked to us about the process. And so our next step is to form a discernment committee which will then continue to explore this issue along with parishioners as to how we can raise up deacons in the parish. In our community outreach, we are exploring options to stabilize the funding for the food voucher program. I'm sure that you would agree with me that we cannot continue every month, the first two Sundays of the month, asking parishioners to contribute more money to the clergy discretionary fund. For two reasons. One, I'm sure that you do not have bottomless pockets, do you? And if you do, well, give more to the church. But what we can do is our best. And what we can do as well is partner with other sources of funding. So we've stepped out in faith, and we have applied to the York Scarborough Episcopal area for a small grant over a three-year period of time to help us bridge towards self-sufficiency in funding the food voucher program. In case you're not aware of what happens, the first Tuesday of every month, a number of people who are in need come here and they get a $10 food voucher and one TTC token. Now, it's not flamboyant, it's not a lot, but for many, that helps to buy some of the basic staples. What we would like to do is to increase it to two TTC tokens, and also, because every month we turn people away, we would like to have more given to the people who are in need. So we've applied for a small grant to help us to do that, along with our own funding. We would also be examining how we can engage more with the community and what more can be accomplished. So my sisters and my brothers in Christ, as we continue to answer God's call to share the gospel, it is generally accepted that there is room for St. George and Young to grow. And I don't think that I have to convince you, just look around. It would be nice to have someone sitting next to you, isn't there? Or someone even in the same row with you. I would actually like to have a front row. Not for selfish reasons, but that would be a sign of God answering prayer. So, as we grow to reach our full potential as a parish, it is imperative for us to consider a marketing plan to reach those around us and to explore ways of extending our invitation and our welcome to others, including our youth and young families. And you're going to be hearing more about that at budget time today, how we propose that we can fund that form of outreach. And growing numerically has absolutely nothing to do with balancing the books. Balancing the books will be an outcome. Sharing the gospel is the only reason for growing numerically. It's the only reason for growing numerically. We share the gospel, we share God's love. And as I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, when the scripture says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Many have suggested that probably where your heart is, there will your treasure follow. Because the tendency is to support what you really believe in. So committed Christians also do good financial stewardship, because that is part of our commitment to Christ and to the work of the church. So we will grow by God's grace as we share the gospel. And we'll balance the budget because God will provide. Finally, our appreciation to the diocesan administration team under the leadership of Michael Farrell, supported by Lance Wilson, Marilyn Young, Anne Winter, and Laura Pummel, and to the staff and all the volunteers for your commitment to our shared ministry here at St. George and Young. I want to publicly thank two clergy who have supported me and given me good words of advice during my time of transition myself. And one is here in the room, and I hope Sister Connie is not embarrassed that I point her out and say Sister Connie has been not only a source of wisdom to me, but dependable, and I wanted to express my appreciation to Sister Connie. And the other person I would like to thank publicly is my regional dean, Heather. My first week in June, after Mac had moved on, the phone rang, and I answered, and Reverend Heather said, "Hi, Leonard, just calling to see how you're doing." I said, "I'm doing fine." There was silence on the line. I don't think she believed, but I was doing fine. And sometimes it's better just to keep your head down and not know what's happening around you. She knew what was happening around me, but I had no idea. And she thought that I was not focused, but by God's grace, I tried to remain focused. So I wanted to thank those two clergy publicly and all others who've prayed and supported me in this ministry, our shared ministry together. So my sisters and my brothers in Christ, it has been a very special privilege to serve with you in 2017, and may God's work yield much fruit here at St. George on Young. And may our lives be enriched as we continue to walk with our Savior in 2018 and beyond. So thanks be to God, and thanks for your faithful ministry. My sisters and brothers in Christ, much of what I've said today has been respectfully submitted in the report that I'm sure that you've read or will read at some point. And I was told, though, that it says respectably submitted. And you know, this is the second time that autocorrect has done that to me. I don't know if you were at my ordination, but I have 200 thank you cards sitting in a box somewhere, because when it was sent in for printing, for whatever, instead of saying St. George and Young, Y-O-N-G-E, it said St. George and Y-O-U-N-G. So I was embarrassed to distribute them. So if you'd like a souvenir at some point, I'd like. But I know that the report says respectably submitted, but that's an autocorrect. I respectfully submit my report to you. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, thank you for the faithful people here at St. George and Young, and thank you for giving me the privilege to serve you, to serve the church, and to serve our people here. And may we be careful to give you all of the praise and all of the honor and all of the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.